after somehow triggering pagers, radios, mobile phones, and solar panels to indiscriminately explode in public places within Lebanon, more innocent lives have been cut short by the terrorist state of Israel.
This is a heinous act of terrorism. We understand perfectly well that with such actions, they are trying to bring the region to a global confrontation, to strike children, civilians, women, in order to stir up public sentiment and set the Middle East on fire so that it's all in flames. But there is another important point. This is a terrorist attack that obviously could not have been carried out by a suicidal loner or just a suicide bomber or someone in a state of complete madness. This is a terrorist attack planned with a cool hand, an extensively planned one. All the signs are there of an international terrorist attack, because it is obvious that in order to gather such a large amount of equipment, it had to be brought in crossing several borders. Obviously, there is an international trail in this, and it should be investigated accordingly. Now the reaction of the West should be indicative. If the West remains silent and, as always, does not insist on an investigation, does not talk about human rights, does not repeat its rhetoric of many years, which they have used in similar cases when terrorist acts were committed on their territory, then this will be proof of their direct engagement.
While the majority of the world cries out for an end to this maniacal bloodshed, in America, the political left, the religious right, and the brainwashed masses are all in. It seems like Americans just can't get enough war. As Ukraine attacks deep in Russia, Israel has now begun heavy bombing in Lebanon, which signals the beginning of something much bigger.
Is this the beginning of a major regional confrontation between Lebanon and its allies and Israel?
I think so. The Israelis have said that the reason they initiated this cyber attack, probably one of the largest in history, was because the Arabs were beginning to catch on. In other words, people in Hezbollah and in Lebanon and probably the Iranians had begun to figure out or at least detect that something like this could happen. And so they felt that they had to initiate it quickly in order to derive some benefit from it. I think the issue right now is not whether or not we're going to support them. We've made it very clear that if they go into Lebanon and this war widens, that we will support them. So I don't think there's much question there. The problem is, how long can we keep all the ships at sea? And I think we're going to see this offensive into Lebanon start fairly quickly now, because we're telling Mr. Netanyahu, we can't sit around waiting for you to do something. So if you're going to do something, you'd better do it quickly, because we can't be out here much longer. But no, we're going to support the Israelis. There's no question about that. And I think they all know that if they back away from their original goals, which is to essentially eliminate the Arab populations in the West Bank and Gaza, that's really where they want to go, and now in southern Lebanon, that they're going to have to accept something else. So I think the Israeli government, the Israeli people, the Israeli Defense Force, everyone is in the same boat. It's either we win or we go down with the ship, which is a terrible position to be in. And no one in Washington seems to be interested in helping them out. I mean, we think we're helping them by giving them anything they want. In fact, we've put them on a road to suicide, in my judgment.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Rees.
Folks, that is the latest from Greg Rees, the latest Rees report, which can be found at InfoWars.com and band.video. We are coming to you live this Monday morning from the InfoWars headquarters here in Central Texas. Big week this week. Well, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of videos to show you over the weekend. Alex Jones, somehow, and I don't know how he does it, he ran into Francis Collins, one of the main architects of the COVID debacle, in the airport. I go to the airport all the time. I'm always scanning face. I never see anybody. Alex Jones just like magnetizes and finds his enemies at airports. I don't know how he does it, but the videos are always bombshell. We'll show you that on the other side of your Daily Dispatch. Get into all of the news of the world as well as your phone calls this episode. Stay with us.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance. Or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula, meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. It's Monday, September 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday morning from Austin, Texas. Not a bunch of, I have a bunch of videos, I have a bunch of stories to get to. But I did happen to just open up X, and I see under the trending explore tab, monkeys save girl from assault in Uttar Pradesh. So I think clear the news desk, we've got our top story of the day. Monkeys save girl from assault in Uttar Pradesh. Yes, folks, nature itself is rising up to stop what's happening. It's a different clip. There's a different video we'll go to later. But yeah, apparently the monkey's helping out the ladies in Uttar Pradesh. All right. We actually have a lot of very serious news, very real news to get to. We're going to go to your calls today as well. Lots of videos to show you from over the weekend. And well, another day, another massive leap towards World War III. We'll get into all of it. And like I said, your phone calls later today. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch. For Monday, the 23rd of September, 2024, Lebanon says 100 people killed by Israeli strikes. Israeli military said it had hit 300 targets as it pursued Hezbollah militants and amid stepped-up raids of its northern neighbor. Lebanon's health ministry said intensifying Israeli airstrikes killed more than 100 people and wounded another 400 on Monday during what appeared to be the start of a broad military campaign. Israel's military said it hit 300 targets as it pursued Hezbollah militants. The IDF will engage in extensive, precise strikes against terror targets, which have embedded widely throughout Lebanon, spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said in a statement. The warning is the first of its kind issued by IDF in Lebanon, an Israeli military official told NBC News. This is the evacuation orders as the IDF warned civilians in southern Lebanon to move away from Hezbollah positions. Yeah, we'll show you some videos from this. We'll get more into what we have long been predicting, the outright conflict between Lebanon and Israel seems to be taking form now. Again, we've laid it out a million times. It's a terrible decision. Israel's own military doctrine says that they cannot defeat Hezbollah in an invasion or, well, any direct conflict, really. But they don't have to. They're not trying to. What they're doing is provoking Hezbollah into a major response to bring the U.S. into the war in a very real way. So we could be on the precipice here, folks. About to go over the edge into the abyss. Meanwhile, totalitarian playbook, the UN is voting on a pact for the future, pushing totalitarian agenda and threatening sovereignty with digital controls and radical climate mandates. World leaders at the United Nations summit have officially adopted the so-called Pact for the Future, a sweeping agreement that purportedly aims to address the world's most pressing issues, some of which don't exist, others which they themselves fabricated. We'll get back into this. Again, a little bit later, the pact, hailed by UN Secretary General as a vision of the future, includes initiatives like Global Digital Compact and the Declaration for Future Generations. But for many, this reads more like a manifesto for totalitarian governance than a collaborative effort to improve international cooperation. The grandiose pact is being marketed as a solution for the problems of tomorrow, but critics are rightfully sounding alarms over its deeply troubling implications. Again, we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that. But yes, they're creating a one-world global government of unelected bureaucrats to oppress you. It's all coming to fruition, folks. Just like the war against Russia, blossoming into full-fledged World War III. Russia will be forced to use tactical nuclear weapons against NATO, says former Putin advisor in a new interview. This story from Infowars.com. Due to continued Western military support, Russia will be forced to use tactical nuclear weapons, said political analyst Sergei Markov, a former advisor to Vladimir Putin, in an interview with Times Radio. Markov expressed concern about the role of the West in the Ukraine-Russia conflict, which, according to him, has increased the tension that nuclear weapons will invariably be used. They may have already. They may have already been used. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Meanwhile, here in America, irony upon irony, hypocrisy upon hypocrisy, Biden-Harris admin warns Americans do not travel to Haiti due to risk of kidnapping, sexual assault, and murder. United States Department of State has issued a level 4 do not travel advisory for Haiti due to widespread crime, including kidnapping, sexual assault, murder, and ransom demands. The good news about this is that the crime, the rape, the murder, the sexual assault, the ransom, that's all caused by the dirt in Haiti. That's the island of Haiti that's doing that. And the instant that you take the Haitians out of Haiti and drop them off in Biloxi, Mississippi, or Springfield, Ohio, all of that is gone. It's actually they're perfect American citizens. It's not the people, folks. It's the magical land that they live on. Or it's the people, and we're bringing them all here. So perhaps a better way to phrase this would be Biden-Harris admin tells Americans, don't travel to Haiti, we'll bring them to you. Don't go out of your way. Don't travel to some other country. We'll just bring that country to your neighborhood, and then we'll call you racist if you don't like it. So we'll get back into that. But it would be like dizzying if the Democrats made even just the slightest effort to justify their varied beliefs, let's just say. But they don't. So it's with no irony whatsoever and no acknowledgement whatsoever that they issue a travel warning not to go to the place where they are currently mass importing people from. There's no sense of shame in any of the madness the Democrats are engaged in. Finally, we have this. Speaker Johnson planning to abandon SAVE Act and fund government to December. The SAVE Act would mandate proof of citizenship to register as a voter in federal elections. Donald Trump has supported the bill and urged Republicans in the House and Senate to refuse to vote on government funding unless absolute assurances on election security can be obtained. The bill was put before a scheduled vote on Wednesday, but it was voted down 220 to 202. 14 Republicans joined the Democrats in voting against it. Now, according to sources, Speaker Johnson is planning to move ahead with a resolution to fund the government into December without any measures to address election integrity, election security. Republicans had previously committed themselves to not passing any short-term resolutions to fund the government. But who cares, right? I mean, who really cares? It's just our elections. It's just the fate of our nation in the balance. So sure, remove that out. Continue to fund all of the oppressive agencies destroying our way of life and our country itself. Incredible stuff. So that's your Daily Dispatch. It's all crazy. It's all crazy and only gets crazier as we delve into the details of some of this stuff. It's one of those things with conspiracy theories where you think in like a normal world, you'd hear something that's like crazy and you think, okay, wait, I got to learn more about this. Then you would go learn more and sort of the crazy thing that you heard at first would start to make more sense. Okay, well, maybe it wasn't that crazy. It's sort of the opposite here. You hear something that's kind of crazy in the headlines now, you go look into it, And it's like, wow, it's so much worse than I could have ever possibly imagined. I mean, they're starting World War III. They're starting World War III, folks. And they're doing it on two different fronts simultaneously. I can't help but, you know, I've said this a million times, but just project into the future, be able to look back and just think 100 years now, people are going to be looking. I mean, if humanity survives 100 years, I don't know if that might be pushing it. But if there's like a civilization and libraries and historians in 100 years from now, they'll be looking back and going, wow, how did nobody see what was coming? Just like how we look back into World War I and we think, really, was there nobody that could put their foot down? Was there nobody that could foresee the senseless murder that they were about to be engaged in with millions, literally millions of people dying over a couple miles of dirt? Just pointless, brutal meat grinder. And you see the run-up to this, looking back in history, and you go, wow, was there nobody that could have seen this coming? And if they did see it coming, was there... It's like there's any... You'd pay any price to avoid that. You would do anything. You would say, you know what? Maybe it's not so big. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. Belgium got their border stomped over. Maybe that's a small price to pay compared to the millions upon millions, the entire generations of men lost to that pointless conflict. And I just have the distinct feeling that we're going to be looking back in 100 years at today, at where we are right now in this moment, going, you know, we could have avoided that. We could have not let that spiral out of control. And it sort of, it gives you a, it actually should give you a better understanding of things like World War I and World War II. When you look at the senseless violence, when you look at the madness that the whole world seemed to be engaged in, like, how did everybody go crazy? You realize, like, oh, not everybody was crazy. The people at the top did it on purpose. The people who were orchestrating this whole thing manipulated everybody into going along with their genocidal madness, just like today. Just like today, people either don't understand, have no concept, no view whatsoever as to the danger that the whole world is being put in, and the people arguing against it, the people desperately trying to inject some sanity back into the conversation are ruthlessly shut down and demonized. And so we're just doing it again. We just can't learn our lesson, apparently. And it is wild. It is indescribable being in this position now, watching it happen, watching it unfold, watching a slow motion car crash that we could avoid at any moment, but the people driving us are suicidal and want to bring us all down with them. Speaking of the genocidal, suicidal slash homicidal slash genocidal programs of our elite, Alex Jones is on his way to, I believe, Reading, Pennsylvania, right, to do a live show with Tucker Carlson. And he just so happened to run into one Dr. Francis Collins, one of the architects of the COVID disaster. I don't even know what to call it at this point. Let's go now to clip number one. Here's Alex Jones in the airport, like only he does, running into not Alex Jones's enemies, but the enemies of humanity, and giving them an earful. Let's watch.
We're good. 20 plus million people dead from those shots.
We just confronted the former head of the NIH, Francis Collins. He's one of the villains with Fauci and the entire Wuhan operation and the cover-up of the origin and the poison shot. Now, he sits backpedaled some, but that doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen. He needs to be held responsible. So Fauci and Bill Gates are the very worst. He's down here part of the way, and he started to come public and admit that this was wrong, what they did, the lockdowns, the poison shots, all of it. And when I said to him, you're about to see it, 20 plus million dead, he nodded his head. So maybe he has a soul. Maybe he's going to go public. Good. Redeem yourself. Current state's evidence, like Redfield and others have started to do, and come all the way out, because the globalist operation for depopulation and what these shots do, turning off the immune system, is all public, and it's not going away, and it's destroying faith in the system and in the medical system, and it's going to bring the system down. So those of you in the system need to join with the people, and you need to come out for Nuremberg 2 and be witnesses against those that will be held responsible. And you know the punishment for crimes against humanity. You know what that is from Nuremberg with the Nazis. All right, here is this confrontation.
How you doing?
All right, how are you?
We're good. 20 plus million people dead from those shots. Well, truth's coming out about you and Fauci. How's it feel to kill more people than Hitler?
You're writing some folk songs about it?
Go ahead.
Write some folk songs?
You'll never get away with what you did, your bioweapon. You're in a lot of trouble. Nuremberg 2 is coming.
You get his face.
Hi. He's good. We'll be exposing that guy. All of them are going to prison, Nuremberg 2. They can run, but they can't hide. The truth will get them. Mass murderers.
Love New York.
God bless you, brother. Former head of the NIH, came up with poison shots, everything right there. Sure.
That's a shame. The terminal, if you want to make a call, 1738, we'll service to Toronto. For more now, we'll make sure all the passengers for Don and Check, Alec Martin, Steve Evan Pina, Justin Moore, Clara Moreno, Daniela Limo, Sandra Nolan, Julie Colleen,
Mr. Collins.
Yeah.
I know we had a few seconds, so I hit him as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Reports.com. So again, I don't know how he does it. I don't know what this guy. He's running into Bernie Sanders. He runs into everybody in the airport. I never get to run in to my enemies and confront them, the enemies of humanity. That is, of course, on Alex Jones's Twitter account. Alex Jones confronts former NIH director Francis Collins over crimes against humanity. How many views does that have? I mean, millions upon millions. Thought maybe I was seeing yesterday, I had like 20 million views or something. A return to X has been glorious, to say the least. And the tide is turning. The tide is slowly but surely turning. And it's thanks to things like that. Alex Jones going out and confronting, blasting this into the real world, taking it off of X, off of the comment sections, off of Rumble or the radio or television, and taking it into real life. And that, of course, is what they fear most about Alex Jones, is the fact that we don't just talk the talk. We walk the walk here at InfoWars and are not afraid to go out and take this conversation IRL. Now, with that, I want to go to another video. I may have talked a little too long here. We might not be able to make it to the end, but it is a must-watch video. That's what it's titled. This is a must-watch video. I'm not sure if we've been able to pull that in, guys. Might have to save that for the next one. But it's just one of a collection of videos I have for today's show of TikTokers, random people. And I love this because, sure, we could cover this same stuff, but you got to know it's not just us, right? You got to know that it's not just InfoWars. It's not just us here in this building that are talking about this. I don't want to use the... I was going to say our message has metastasized. Maybe that's not the right way to phrase it, since we're not the cancer. We're not the parasitical cancer destroying the country, so metastasizing might not be... But we've reached critical mass. And I really can't help but think about just the classic lefty phrase that's always invoked with, you know, far left socialist people. But it's actually more true for us. You know, they tried to bury us. It turns out we were seeds. They've tried to destroy InfoWars and Alex Jones. And it turns out that in their attempted destruction, we have not just risen phoenix-like from the ashes, but we've spawned a whole legion of patriots around the country and around the world. And look, something's got to be done. I know, like, Americans are so polite in general. Like, they don't think it's right to, like, be kind of rude to a guy in the airport. Oh, well, he's just trying. You're really going to bother this guy? He's just trying to get on his plane. He's a mass murderer. So he's been involved in a campaign of mass murder. He got up on TV and got to lie to your face, and you were punished if you showed proof that he was lying. It's time to stop feeling sorry for our enemies. If it was up to them, you would be dead, your children would be in cages, and they would think it's funny. So some people are going to have to be made a little bit uncomfortable in the pursuit of justice. It should really just the beginning. It should be the beginning. I want to go now to clip number 5 here. This is a video, a compilation that was posted by Elon Musk. Actually, I'm not sure who posted it originally. I think Concerned Citizen posted it originally, but it was reposted by Elon Musk. The very simple, cogent message. Do not trust the mainstream media. Just a little compilation of just a tiny, minuscule smattering of the lies that we had to live through for the 4 years of Donald Trump. And hopefully seeing this type of blatant manipulation exposed could still wake people up. Let's watch.
CNN edited a video to make it appear as though Trump impatiently dumped a box of fish food into the water in Japan. The full video showed Trump had simply followed the lead of Japan's prime minister. In June 2017, NBC News reported that Russian President Putin said he had compromising information about Trump. Actually, Putin said the opposite.
Do you have something damaging on our president?
Well, this is just another load of nonsense. Where would we get this information?
The New York Times and CNN shared a story with photos of immigrant children in cages. It turns out the photos were from 2014 during the Obama administration. In November 2019, Newsweek falsely reported that President Trump was spending Thanksgiving golfing in Florida. He was actually in Afghanistan serving dinner to U.S. troops.
Good morning.
CBS aired a story in March of 2020, supposedly showing a New York hospital crowded with patients.
It's all hands on deck in America's hospitals.
It was actually filed tape from Italy. A week later, CBS News mistakenly used the Italy video again. In May, the BBC and The Guardian reported because Trump wasn't wearing headsets, he didn't bother to listen to the translation of a speech by Italy's prime minister.
Per lo sviluppo dell'Africa.
But Trump was wearing dinner to U.S. troops.
Good morning.
CBS aired a story in March of 2020, supposedly showing a New York hospital crowded with patients.
It looked like it got looped there somehow by accident. But
is actually filed
again, just a tiny little taste of just some of the manipulation that Americans were subjected to. And look, it's not about the individual lies. It's about this constant deluge of non-existent scandals. And the fact is, and we can do this live for you on the other side of the commercial break, where you just go and just find any date from the entire President Trump administration, and just find there's always about 3 to 4 simultaneous scandals going on, totally fabricated, totally made from nothing, totally baseless. You know, one constant would be the Russian, Russiagate lie that just was continually there. And so every day people were just being bombarded with these videos, every one of which you just saw that was treated as like a giant issue, a huge geopolitical faux pas that was proof of Trump's insanity or that he was unfit to serve. And so you could show somebody that video, a leftist who has spent 4 years just absorbing this stuff uncritically. You know what they would say? They'd go, well, sure, you can show me a couple examples, but every day I heard what a bad guy this was. I mean, they heard thousands upon thousands of times what a bad guy he was. You can't systematically go through and debunk every single one. They don't care.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish we were in high school, I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
If we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. I'd like to punch him in the face.
I'll meet him in a hotel room any motherfucking day of the week and give him a Louisville slugger. Kiss my motherfucking ass, you bitch punk sucker.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
When they go low, we kick.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's an actor dressed to look just like President Donald Trump as he's assassinated on stage. Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
We are watching a rally right now. Former President Trump was just in the middle of a speech when what sounded like possible shots were fired. We saw the president, former president, take cover.
Breaking news, former President Donald Trump is safe, and a 20-year-old shooter is dead after a shocking assassination attempt on the former president in Pennsylvania.
We begin tonight with the breaking news and the second assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
He is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
Let me give you one bottom line. As a former government official, government's gonna kill this guy.
He needs to be shot, stop.
They're still gonna have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
This shirt as well, because the left's always acting like they're the Mavericks, they're the Trailblazers, they're the Outlaws. No, ladies and gentlemen, we are the rebels against the globalists. We are the resistance, and I'm voting for the Outlaw. Fight the tyrants at point-blank range and meet like-minded people and spread the word in the third dimension. Take action now and don't let the left silence you. The AlexJonesStore.com.
American Journal with Chase Geyser, your compass to the nation's crossroads on InfoWars.
Welcome back, folks. This is Harrison Smith hosting American Journal for you. I got a lot of videos to show you out of Lebanon as a massive bombing campaign has devastated that country, and of course that's just going to be the beginning. It looks like the gloves are coming off between Lebanon and Israel, something we've been talking about and predicting for a very, very long time. We'll take your calls on this a little bit later. The numbers are uncertain at this point. I'm seeing a lot of different reports. 182 seems to be a number that the Lebanese health ministry is announcing, 182 dead from the airstrikes. Lebanon's health ministry says intensifying Israeli airstrikes killed more than 100 people and wounded another 400 on Monday during what appeared to be the start of a broad military campaign. Israel's military said it had hit 300 targets as it pursued Hezbollah militants amid stepped-up raids of its northern neighbor. The Israeli Defense Forces earlier warned civilians in southern Lebanon to move away from Hezbollah positions. Uh, You know, I don't even know what to say at this point, because they pretty much totally failed in Gaza. I don't just want to repeat myself over and over, because we've covered this so many times, but Gaza is like the lowest level of operator in this area, right? You've got Hezbollah, you've got the Syrian army, you've got Iran. Like, all of these are tiers and tiers above where Gaza is. Now, they totally failed to achieve military objectives in Gaza. They have not recovered the hostages. They have not put Hamas out of commission. And we told you from the very beginning that was never even really a possibility because of the just tactical reality on the ground. That they have extensive, massive tunnel networks, 60-plus feet under the ground, totally immune from airstrikes. And yet Israel's only viable weapon are airstrikes. Okay, so Israel's only method of attack cannot, by definition, actually do much damage to the infrastructure of their enemies. So the only option then is to actually go into the tunnels, which Israel doesn't have the manpower to do. So they're using robot dogs, and they're just carpet bombing everything. They're just using a campaign of terror to try to force Hamas to capitulate. But there's basically nowhere in Gaza that is free of Hamas now. They're still getting attacked in the north of Gaza as they shore up their positions on the south. And yet, Gaza is a totally surrounded, totally controlled, totally surveilled prison population. Compare that to Lebanon, with its borders with Syria, with its access fairly directly to Iran, to its massive coast, to the huge mountains that cover the entire country. The Hezbollah tunnel systems just make the Gaza tunnels pale in comparison. We'll show you videos from some of that. And one of the other things about the tactical or strategic advantage of Hezbollah is that they don't really have permanent missile launching sites. And you can see in all the videos that we show you of Hezbollah themselves, they pop out of the ground somewhere with a truck carrying a missile launcher, or several trucks. They drive somewhere, they set up, they launch missiles. By the time Israel realizes they're being attacked, the missiles have been launched and the trucks are moving again. So when the IDF, or when Israel says they've attacked Hezbollah positions, it doesn't even really make sense, to be honest with you. Because practically all of their operations are mobile. And if they're not mobile, then they're deep underground, immune to the munitions that Israel can actually use. So let's just tell you what this is for real, because it should be obvious by this point. Israel has put itself in a situation where it has to do or die, basically, at this point. They cannot accept surrender at this point. So they kind of have to escalate, and they have to ensure that America is their guard dog to defend them against any repercussions to their actions. Their ultimate goal is massive expansion of the land of Israel, of annexing by force areas currently Palestine or Lebanon that they have depopulated. And specifically with Hezbollah and Lebanon, they're attempting to provoke Hezbollah into a massive response that puts Israel on the back foot, that puts them in a existential position in which America would step in and get involved in a real way, since that's the only possible way that Israel comes out on top of all of this, is to have us do their fighting for them We can just look at some of the videos of the bombings, and we can just roll through these guys. Clip 13. We'll go to clip 12 in a second. Clip 13, clip 14, and you can just see some of the absolutely massive destruction. Clip number 9, clip number 8. We can just roll these, and we can leave the audio up a little bit, just to get an idea of the sound of destruction that we're experiencing, or that they're experiencing there in Lebanon. But as you can see, just unimaginably massive explosions taking place there. A lot of people suggesting this could be a tactical nuke of some sort. What these things are, they are absolutely huge. And of course, you hear the screaming of the little girls that I'm sure are Hezbollah. That's just massive airstrikes hit this entire country. Yeah, and it just goes on and on and on, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. But don't worry, folks. The IDF, Israel, assures us that these attacks are highly precise, going after just the terrorists, okay? And you know, I know it's kind of circular reasoning, but stick with me here. Israel's only attacking terrorists, so if you get hit by an Israeli bomb, you're a terrorist, okay? That's how it works. All right, so sure. So far, the people that have died from the airstrikes have mostly been women and children, as is the case in Gaza. But they're actually terrorists. How do you know? Because they got bombed by Israel. So if you get bombed by Israel, you are a terrorist. And that's the way it works. And that is the definition of terrorist these days. That's all that really means. But we can go now to clip number 12, where the IDF explains to us why, you know, it's necessary for them to carpet bomb civilian areas. Because Hezbollah has gigantic missiles in all of their living rooms. So let's watch clip number 12. This is from the IDF. So here you see, it looks like a normal Lebanese village, but actually, see, there's gigantic missiles in every room, actually. Actually, every house in Lebanon has a gigantic missile launcher in the garage. Okay? Just so we're clear. Yeah. Looks like an innocent building somewhere. No, it's got a supersonic missile. Trust us, for sure. Don't worry about the gigantic tunnel systems. Don't worry about the mobile launching sites. Actually, they're all just in apartment buildings in Beirut that need to get bombed. So yeah, it's, you know, don't act like it's ridiculous or anything. They showed you the graphic, okay? They showed you the graphic of all of the buildings, and they highlighted in red how every building has multiple missiles caked into the walls. Yeah, they're just going to do to Lebanon what they did to Gaza. They're just going to terrorize it, bomb the hell out of it. It's going to make Gaza look like a tea party because the number of people that are going to be subjected to this. And of course, America has given them the green light to do this. And this follows their absolutely outrageous and insane and still like not discussed enough attack about where they blew up pagers and solar panels and other small devices, walkie-talkies and the like, through a cyber attack. Now, we will take your calls on this and where you think this goes. But it's not going to be good. It is not going to be good one way or another. President Joe Biden also warned the violence could escalate. "We're going to do everything we can to keep a wider war from breaking out," he told reporters Sunday. So rest easy, folks. Joe Biden's crack team of diplomats is working tirelessly on the issue. And sure, they have just utterly failed to even minutely restrain Israel for the nearly year that the conflict in Gaza has been going on. Every month or so, Anthony Blinken or any of the other deep state goblins, traitorous satanic warmongers, go over there with a stated design of we are going to rein in Israel, or we're going to get a ceasefire, or we're going to bring peace to the region. And every time there is a bigger attack than ever before, it gets even more destructive and chaotic and escalatory. And then we give them a couple $1 billion in weaponry and promise to come back next month and do it all over again. Don't worry. The same team that assured us that prevention of a wider war in Ukraine was their top priority before that conflict broke out, they're on the ball, folks. Biden's comments came as the State Department issued a warning for Americans to leave Lebanon while commercial options still remain available. Israel and Iran-backed Hezbollah have been trading rocket fire since October 7th terrorist attack and ensuring Israeli bombardment of Gaza. Many experts agree that neither Israel nor Iran wants a full-blown direct conflict, but they fear that escalating strikes may lead to one erupting. Yeah. You know, like, Israel does not want a full-blown direct conflict, but they are starting one. So it's a little confusing. Israel has evacuated around 60,000 people from more than 40 northern communities during the conflict. In Lebanon, over 100,000 people have been displaced, according to data from the International Organization for Migration. Hagari said Hezbollah has been preparing to strike Israel, which followed the heavy exchange of fire over the border between Israel and the group over the weekend. The video statement, which showed a map of towns and villages mostly towards the south of Lebanon, which he said Hezbollah is used to militarize civilian infrastructure. Okay, so they're going to bomb civilian infrastructure, is what they're saying. They probably militarized the drinking water, too, if I had to guess. The conflict reached a new height last week when pagers and walkie-talkies belonging to Hezbollah members exploded in a stunning Israeli operation. Yeah, and also other pagers and walkie-talkies. Also just ones that doctors and nurses carry, too. No, they set off thousands of unaimed, unspecific hand grenades across the entire nation in an act of outrageous terror. An airstrike on Friday killed at least 45 people in the densely populated suburb of Beirut, including Hezbollah's senior members as well as dozens of civilians. Quote, we have entered a new phase, the title of which is the open-ended battle of reckoning, Hezbollah Deputy Chief Naim Qassem told mourners Sunday at the funeral of one of its commanders killed in the strike. The militia responded with its own round of attacks, with dozens of rockets hurled towards Israel in what was one of the deepest strikes since the war began. While many of the 150 rockets, cruise missiles, and drones launched by Hezbollah were intercepted by Israeli air defenses, the IDF said on Sunday there were a small number of cases of hits and interception debris falling on Israeli territory. Meanwhile, the Israeli military is also looking into reports that Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, was killed in a recent Israeli airstrike, an Israeli official told NBC News. At this point, Israel does not have enough evidence to confirm his death or rule it out, the officials say. But negotiations are ongoing. Negotiations are ongoing. They just keep killing the people they're supposed to be negotiating with. Maybe it's worth it to go back over how exactly we got here, because it is, it can all just sort of get lost in the chaos, can't it? The timeline, the chain of events that led us to where we are now. You could say this whole conflict started on October 7th with the Al-Aqsa flood attack against Israeli military positions. But that in and of itself doesn't even make much sense, since the term Al-Aqsa flood denotes the fact that this attack was in response to Israeli aggression at the Temple Mount or the Al-Aqsa Mosque That is the probably second most holy site in Islam, and that is become a point of contention between the Israeli government and the Arabs, Muslims that still live there. I mean, obviously, you could go back to really the late 1800s if you wanted. You could go back even farther if you really wanted to get into the history of Zionism. But where all of this starts, where the tit-for-tat chain of events begins, we can start with October 7th, in which a bunch of Hamas members seemingly miraculously overcame the most sophisticated and powerful border defenses in the history of the world. The continually surveilled, massively militarized border between Gaza and Israel was breached. Over 1,000 Israelis died. But of course, there are a few strange aspects to this. First of all, the more outrageous claims on October 7th were all universally false. Not to say it wasn't a brutal attack, but the claims of rape gangs, the claims of babies being put into ovens, all of these were false. None of these actually happened. There was a music festival that was attacked, the Nova Festival. But even that is just sort of surrounded by bizarre happenings. So the fact that the music festival location was changed just days before, the fact that they almost seemingly purposefully put the music festival directly on the border with Gaza, so that the militants who, by all accounts, and apparently, you know, through their actions, seems like they were targeting military objectives, but happened to realize that there's a giant music festival happening right in the middle of this active war zone. And then Israel sent airships and helicopters, you know, 7 hours later, after a huge delay. I'm just sort of rambling through this, and I want to give the full context, because obviously this event and the subsequent events, emotions run high, and I don't want to be flippant or, you know, short about any of this. But also, when the emotions run high and when you have this type of occurrence going on, you can lose sight. Like, you're there, you're hearing about all this crazy stuff, the rape gangs, babies in ovens, it's crazy. And then later that might be proven wrong, but that's not till months later, and in the meantime, action has been taken on the basis of the belief that these things have happened. And then there's claims about, well, it was Israelis that were shelling the houses that the hostages were being held in and that the militants were in. And there are claims that day, and then later there's investigations. So, you know, now that the investigations have been held and that the video has been released, we know in no uncertain terms that the so-called Hannibal directive was followed, that the Israeli tactic of killing the hostage takers, even if that means the hostages themselves have to die, was in effect, and that perhaps the majority, certainly a large number, perhaps the majority of the people killed at the Nova Festival and elsewhere were killed by Israeli gunships, helicopters, raining fire down. And again, all you really have to do is look at the evidence. Yeah, why would the media go to such lengths to concoct gruesome X-rated versions of an attack that was so harrowing enough to begin with? Well, because they needed to justify the outrage. And the problem with all this is, like, we were telling you this as it was happening. We were narrating along as these attacks first started and as they got going, explaining the psychology behind it, saying this has to be treated like an existential threat to keep the fear up, to keep the anxiety up, to keep the state of panic so that the actions of Israel look justified. Because it turns out that, like, okay, there weren't rape gangs, there weren't babies in ovens, huge death toll came primarily because Israeli response both was delayed 7 hours and the attack was allowed to happen for a long time. Then when the response did come, the Israelis just killed a bunch of their own people. Then you're not going to have the emotional impetus to start a massive genocidal campaign to wipe Gaza out completely or send all the Palestinians to Europe. So they needed to keep the atmosphere of life or death, of we don't have an option. Look, maybe if we had time to think about this, maybe we wouldn't do it, but we don't have time. We just got to go now. We just got to attack now. We just got to do it now. And it just, you kept that up for months and months and months on end in order to justify the massive, relentless, largely untargeted attacks against Gaza. Where basically every hospital, basically every school, the refugee camps, they've all been bombed to hell. Hundreds of thousands of people have been killed. Hundreds of thousands of civilians. Hundreds of thousands of children, women, refugees, the people trying to deliver food were bombed on purpose, even though they had coordinated their path and what they were doing with the Israeli military. Because it was a symbol to everybody. If you want to help people in Gaza, Israel will kill you and they'll get away with it. And that's an example for everybody else. Stop trying to help these people. They've bombed the water treatment plants. They've cut off fuel supplies. They've kept Gaza in a state of total destitution this entire time and still not actually achieved many, if any, of their military goals. There's also an offer on like October 8th or 9th from Hamas saying we will return all hostages for an agreement that Israel will not enter into Gaza. And Israel rejected that because it's more important to them to have the excuse that they've wanted for a long time to invade Gaza, to ethnically cleanse it, and to annex it forcibly into Israeli territory. They cared more about that than they did about the lives of the hostages, which to them were just a useful excuse to launch this long-awaited and long-planned-for land grab against Gaza. They're doing the same in West Bank, even though Hamas doesn't have a presence there. They're doing the same in Lebanon. They'll do the same to Syria. They'll do the same to Iran. Talk about expansionism, murderous intent. Israel really sets the record on the world stage today. We'll be back to break it down more.
I got a great way for you to keep InfoWars on the air, and regardless of what happens, InfoWars keep me on the air, and that's the AlexJonesStore.com, a new key URL for you to mark down. I've teamed up with the folks that make a lot of the top-selling Trump shirts in the country. They've got the best t-shirt designers, Bigly. If you go to TheAlexJonesStore.com, that's separate from InfoWars, that's key to support, into the future, whatever happens here, 30-plus amazing new t-shirt designs, new ones being added every day. They're incredible. Trump shirts, you name it, TheAlexJonesStore.com. And every time you buy a shirt or 30-plus different great designs of Patriot ball caps, you get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day. It's different every day, into the raffle to get $10,000 cash. Halloween's when the prize is announced, the winner, and a $138,000 turbo diesel super deluxe off-road upgraded, the best truck you can get, over-the-top turbo diesel engine, AEV standard features, and then it's all upgraded. I tried to go over, take an hour, the best tires, the best shocks, the best systems. It's a 2024 Ram Prospector AEV Dodge turbo diesel, army green, black with red pinstripe, ready for you. When you buy something, you enter 5 or 10 times, depending on what promo they're running that day, in the raffle. All at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But the t-shirts, the reason to go there, keep us on air. And these are badass shirts. They've got over 30 incredible t-shirt designs. I think there's more now. They're adding more every day at TheAlexJonesStore.com. They're designer. They're high quality. They're all there. Some of the InfoWars classics, they updated, made even better. A lot of new, incredible designs. A lot of Alex Jones shirts. A lot of Trump shirts. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We need your aid. We need your support. Plus, he's a great church. You'll meet like-minded people. It spreads the word. It's exciting to wear these out in public. Most people will agree with you and love you. You'll meet so many friends. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. We need your support. No excuses. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you. Enter to win right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Thank you.